Dear Father, I give you praise. I give you glory. You are the Most High God. I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you that your word imparted to these hearts of ours will bring change, transformation, radical change. As we yield to the Spirit of truth, help us everyone, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. James chapter 1, beginning with verses 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That last verse says that God wants us to be complete and lacking in no sense of the word. As we study the book of James, we're going to realize that God is speaking to us to be people who trust him, people who will walk after his will and his way, people who will not follow after the patterns of this world, but will really devote our hearts and our lives to the things that God has spoken. And God wants us to know that when we do, we will be people who will lack nothing. He doesn't promise us that there will be no test. He doesn't promise us that there will be no trials. He doesn't promise us that we won't have heartbreaking moments. He doesn't promise us that there won't be times in our lives when we will wonder, where in the world am I? What is going on? What's happening here? He doesn't promise us those things. He does promise us that if we will trust him, that if we will follow his word and his will and the things that he desires for us, that we will not come up short in any sense of the word. I want you to just take a moment and think about that. God says that we will be perfect and entire. We will be complete and we will lack no thing. Nothing that is vital to your life, nothing that is necessary for our lives, we will not come short in any sense of the word. Just think about that. Now let's go back to verse 1 and let's look at a couple of things that James is doing here in verse 1, or the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through James, because we do know that the word of God has been written by men who have been inspired by God, and the Holy Spirit makes clear to us what God wants us to understand as far as his will for our lives is concerned. James chapter 1, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting or grace. He's writing to believers who have been displaced from their homeland, who have been displaced from their homes, and not only their homes, but their homeland. These people are living among people whose lifestyles are totally different and foreign to them, their culture, nothing like them. And so these people are in situations that are not necessarily conducive to the lifestyle that they are used to. They're not in situations that make them feel comfortable. And then they've been persecuted, and they're being persecuted for being Christians. And so they've got all of this going on. And then I want you to know this. Not only are they being persecuted as Christians, but think about this. In reality, they have their own personal problems too. All of us have life situations that are not always good. And in the midst of being displaced from home, homeland, and living among people who are not necessarily in love with Christians or Christian behavior, they have their own problems. They have their own marital problems, their own financial problems, their own problems with their children, their own problems with being loved, and whatever the case may be, because not only are they hated as Christians, but there are people among them who have family members that are not really crazy about them. So they have a number of things going on with them. And in the midst of that, James says, greeting or grace to you. And he says to them, wherever you find yourselves, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Know this, because the trying of your faith, or the proving of your faith being tested, what is your faith? Your confidence in God and who He is. That trying of your faith is going to work patience. And then he says, let the patience have her complete work. Let patience do in you what needs to be done in you, so that you may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. And again, he's writing to people who have problems. Who wants to hear rejoice? Be joyful, especially when you have a problem that you can't solve and you can see no way that it's going to be solved. So what's going on here? What's going on in the text? Number one, God is calling us to a place, church, where our trust in Him, our believing that He is our God, is first and foremost in our hearts and minds. And so I noticed something in verse 1 that James says. He said, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. This James is the brother of Jesus, who at one point in his life, along with the rest of the family, doubted that Jesus was even the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now he calls himself servant. And this word servant here is, let me put it like this. This particular word servant means slave, in the sense of being a person who has willingly on purpose become the servant of another person, and not just become a servant of another person, but permanently. In other words, he has said, and he is saying, I have sold out to Jesus Christ the rest of my life. He is saying, I am one whose will is completely consumed by the will of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. My own agenda is not on the table anymore. What I desired apart from God is no longer an issue. I have decided that God knows best, and apparently he has found out that God knows best, because he is now able by the Spirit of God to write to the church, listen, church, you're finding yourself in a hard place, but that's okay. Because you can have confidence in God this one day, that no matter what you're experiencing now, you will be complete. You will be whole. You will lack nothing. That broken heart of yours is going to be healed. That, oh my God, those things that are going on in your family, they're all going to come together as long as you trust God. So let these things happen. But in the midst of them, rejoice in this. This is not what you're experiencing now, is not the final answer. It's not the end of the matter. This coming from someone who once said, really? Really, brother? You're the Christ? Really, brother? You're the Savior? Really? Come on, man. Come on. We know better. This same one now has had his heart changed to the point that he's saying, not only are you the Christ, but here's my life. hear God today. We need to say, here's my life. Now, granted, it doesn't happen overnight, but we must come to the place where we say, God, it's your way, it's your will that I truly do desire. I understand that you created me for your good pleasure. I understand that you created me to be in your likeness and your very image. You didn't create me to just wander off into darkness and be someone other than what you ordained from the beginning. Basically, that's what James is saying here when he says, I'm a servant of the Most High God. He's saying, I've come to the realization, I've come to the understanding that I am not my own. I have not made myself, but it is God who has made me. He has made me for his good pleasure, and in his good pleasure, he will give me good pleasure. In his good pleasure, he is going to cause me to know life at its best. Jesus says in John chapter 12, and I'm just going to make reference to them, verses 25 and 26. He basically says this, that if you choose to live your life other than according to the will of God, then you'll lose it. But if you will take to heart the things that I speak to you and allow the Holy Spirit to do God's work in you, and you choose God's will and God's way, then not only will you live, but you will be restored in the places where you're broken, because he says you will have life eternal. That means that whatever's broken will be fixed. Wherever you fall short will no longer be a problem. He's saying that we will experience life that knows no boundaries. Think about it, life eternal, the God kind of life, the life that the life where you can have peace that passes all understanding, the life where you can rejoice in persecution, the life where you can rejoice when you're misunderstood, when you're reviled, the life where you can joy when nobody understands why you're the way you are. Life where you can rejoice when you don't understand why it's the way it is. God is saying to us in this moment that I want for you the very best. I see where you are. I see the things that are happening to you. I want the very best for you. And so I'm telling you, this is how it's going to happen. Your life, your will, you're going to lay them on the altar. And you are going to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you in such a way and instruct you in such a way, teach you in such a way and bend you in such a way that you will want what I want, and you will willingly come to the place where you will say, here I am, Lord. And it won't be drudgery. It won't be a hard thing. I remember as a child, and in the early days, even in some of the early days of my walking with God, when I truly understood that life is in him is a personal experience, and it's a growing and it's an ongoing thing from now throughout eternity. But in the early days, when I saw things in the book of Revelation, when the angels were bowing and they were just saying, holy, holy, holy. And the natural man said, well, man, what else is going to happen? That seems like kind of boring, you know, just going holy, holy every day. And then I started to grow in the Lord. Oh, somebody, please listen to me. I started to grow in the Lord. And as I started to grow in the Lord, I realized and understood that when they were saying, holy, my God, God was revealing more and more of himself to him. And they were in awe of the wonder of his person, in awe of the wonder of who he is. And as the Holy Ghost teaches you and me, we begin to stand in awe and a reverential fear of who God is. And we can come to the place where, like James, we can say, a servant of God in Jesus Christ, my will lost in his will. I am even as the Lord has called me to be, one who says, yes, Lord. And not because I have to, but because I just want to, because I see you. I see your greatness. I know your love. I'm experiencing your love, and your love is tender and it's warm, and at the same time, it's firm and it's wanting the best for me. James is saying that's why he's a servant. He's not just saying I'm a slave to him and this is drudgery. No, he's saying I have seen and I do know. Not only is he the Lord, the Christ, not only is God Almighty the one, but I am experiencing such a relationship with him, such a place in his love have I found myself, that I am so grateful that I even get the opportunity to call myself his servant. And not just for the moment, and not when things are going good, because you know how we are. When things go good, oh yes, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you Jesus, the Lord is God, he's the one for me, hallelujah, Lord, I will serve you. But then when we're hit with that hard thing, that thing that we never thought would come our way, that's the time of the testing of the faith. That's the time when we find out, that's when the rubber hits the road. You know, a few years ago, my brother died, and he was the oldest of my two brothers. And then just 6 months later, my youngest sister died. And in that time of the year when my brother died, from the beginning of the year when my brother died, well, my brother really died in the middle of the year, but at the beginning of that year, we had had a number of deaths in our family, and they were like up close family, you know, right in the inner circle type family, not the distant. But and we were just having a number of deaths. My mother's oldest sister, first it started with my brother-in-law, and then my mother's oldest sister. And then when my mother's oldest sister died, I get the news that my dad's oldest sister has been diagnosed with cancer, and within 2 months they died. And then there were a number of other people in the family that were just leaving one right behind the other. And then we get to July, and then my brother dies. And then the following January, my sister died. And my heart was in such a state that I was saying, God, you know, how much more? This is a lot. This is a lot. And I know that he's God, and I know that he loves us. And I know that the word of God says that he will not allow us to suffer beyond what we're able to bear up under. I know that the word says that. Yet my heart is hurting, and it's hurting so bad. And I'm riding in my car, and I'm crying out to God in this instant, in this moment. And this song comes on the radio. And the cry in the song is the same as the cry in my heart. And because I don't know if I can repeat the lyrics without getting in, you know, infringing upon some rights, I won't say exactly what they were, but the cry was the same as mine. You know, hey, you know, I thought that by now, you know, this would be over. And here it is happening again. And in that moment, something else rose up on the inside of me. But I still know that you love me, that you love our family. I still know that you are caring for us in this moment. I still know that, even though the pain is great. And it seems like the way I was grieving changed. That's all I know to tell you. The way I was grieving and the way I was experiencing what was going on, it changed, because I seemed to be experiencing the grace of God in another way, His keeping power in another way. He's God, and I know He is. He cares, keeps us in another way. And over the years, my mind has gone back even to when my mother died and a song that came out at that time. And it was the beginning of me learning that God is the keeper of my soul. He's the keeper of my heart. The Holy Ghost communes with us and fellowships with us in such a way that He teaches those things to us, and He causes us to realize that we can joy and rejoice. And in that car that day, I started to rejoice in God my Savior, in God my Redeemer. There was a work done in my heart, and I can't necessarily articulate to you what happened, but something happened that needed to happen in me in that moment. And I pray that even while I'm teaching today, that there's something that is happening in your heart, something that needs to happen to make you see how God's way is always right, and God's will for your life is always right, and that it is always right and always good for us to desire what God wants and what God desires for us. And even in those seasons in our lives when it's not God bringing the heartache and bringing the heartbreak, that we will trust Him with our hearts, and we will trust that He knows how to bring us through every situation unscathed and better off. Unscathed and better off, knowing Him better, stronger people, desiring what God wants more than anything. James said, servant, one whose will is completely consumed by the will of another, and in this case, God Himself. His love and His devotion is shown in that word servant. His love and His devotion, His desire to follow after whatever God has for him, is found in that word, servant. Jesus said in John chapter 12, after He had raised Lazarus from the dead, and there was just a big hullabaloo going on, you know, there was big commotion going on around Lazarus being raised from the dead. Not everybody was happy, trust me, not everybody was happy. But some people were coming, and they were wanting to see this man. They were wanting to see this Jesus, and this is near the time of His crucifixion, and He's about to be offered up for the sins of the world. He's about to be crucified, and His death, burial, and His resurrection are not far off, and people are wanting to come and gaze at Him. And Jesus, in the midst of people coming and saying to Him that people want to see Him, He says something in John chapter 12, verses 25 and 26. Well, you know, I wasn't going to read it, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read it to you. He says this. He says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And you know, and I hadn't even thought about this, but if any man, he's not discriminating there in this sense. It doesn't matter what walk of life you've experienced. It doesn't matter where you've been, how much you've done, how much has been done to you. Jesus said, if you'll come after me, you'll know eternal life. And so Jesus says in short here that we cannot count our lives dear to ourselves. We live in a world that runs contrary to the word of God. We live in a world that is contrary to the will of God, and we must choose his way and not this world that we live in. And Jesus is saying, if we do that, then we will have eternal life. We will know what it is to experience the life that God always intended for us before the fall of man. We will know it. And he's writing this to people who are greatly persecuted. In our day, this day, we are still being persecuted. I must say that in the Western world, we don't know persecution the way these people knew persecution, or way some of our sisters and brothers know persecution in other countries where Christianity is a no-no. We don't understand that kind of persecution. But I'm speaking to you, my brothers and my sisters, even if some in the persecuted world hear what I have to say, God is calling you to rejoice in this thing that he is God and that you know that he's God. It may not be popular to be a Christian, but it's the right thing to do. Being a Christian, we may be uncomfortable in some situations. We may find some situations deplorable, but this is one thing that we can know, that our God is calling us to know the life that he came to give us. And it begins with us accepting Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. When we do, we will become, not all at once, but we will become, as we walk with him, as we follow him, we will become those who are like James. And you know what? It just came back to my mind. One of the things that I wanted to point out to you in verses 25 and 26, and see, I read it and then I got caught up in it. I was going to make reference to this one thing that Jesus said. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Jesus said, let him walk out life the way he sees me walk life out. Come and go where he sees me go. Come and do the things that he sees me do. Let him say the things that he hears me say. Can you hear what God is saying to us? There is a way to live life that we can pattern our lives after Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost will lead us and guide us into all of that. He will show us the way. In the process, he will be making these hearts of ours, hearts that love God, hearts that are devoted to God. And so he's not talking about the letter of the law here. I pray that you get that understanding. He's not talking about read some scripture, memorize some scripture, and say, oh, God says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not have sex outside of marriages, thou shalt not have sex outside of a marriage, and marriage to God is between a man and a woman. He's not talking about the thou shalt nots and the thou should do's as much as he's talking about being transformed into people who will desire it the way he says it to us. That we will get the heart of what he's saying to us, the very essence of the word of God, what God meant when he said it. That's what God wants us to get. And so in these last couple of minutes here, I just want to say this to you. As we look at the book of James, we're going to see that these are things that God wants us to walk out daily. And I thought I would just take this much time talking about James saying to us that he's a servant of God, because I pray that even if we're just not really there with being able to say that, that we will grow to the place where we will be saying, not my will, God, but yours. Because that is when we will know life the way God intended it. Abundant life. A life where we have peace that passes all understanding, and a joy that works when life is not working well for us. I've got to go, guys. Love you much. God bless you. Talk to you next time. We'll be looking at the book of James. Start to look with me so that you can be prepared for the lessons that are to come. God bless you.